let's get started. And so, my name is Dove Cranson. I know a few of you, but not all of you. I'm in El Paso, Texas, with my wife Holly and our family. I came to Christ in 1996 in Fort Collins, Colorado, at Colorado State University, and helped move down there to plant a church in 2007. So we've been down in the desert for quite a while. We had two kids in Colorado and four desert rats down in El Paso. And so I've been married for 20 years, and we have six kids, ages 19 down to 6. And so there's Lavender. Lavender's our oldest, and Sienna's our youngest. Hi, Sienna. She's 6. And so we're going to talk about developing a vision for your family. And so this is something that, I don't know, I guess I kind of think big picture a lot, and for me that's really helpful. It helps me make day-to-day decisions. So we're going to talk mostly big picture, and then I want to give you the opportunity to kind of look at some day-to-day things. Parenting's kind of a hard job, really. It's like, I don't know, if you ever thought you were a really selfless person or a really patient person, then you have kids and you realize, wow, they really know how to push my patience and reveal my selfishness, and as if marriage didn't do that enough. But so kids are an incredible blessing, and they're also a lot of work. And so why don't we pray, and we're just going to jump into this. I would like a lot of participation from you. And there's a couple challenges to that. One is that there's the opportunity when I open it up that some of you will say things that I don't agree with. And there's always the risk that somebody in this room is going to be like, oh, I heard something that was really weird. I trust that we're all making our own choices. Some of the stuff I say might be weird. You know, we're all going to filter that. So just because somebody says something doesn't mean we're all endorsing it, whatever. But I do want you to feel the freedom to participate, even if your ideas are different than mine. The second challenge is sometimes we can start going into weird tangents, and so I might just cut people off and kind of bring it back. But I would like you to participate. So I am a high school teacher, and so, I don't know, I just think teaching is better with participation than it is as a lecture. So let's pray, and let's jump into this. So thank you, God, for the privilege of being parents. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for the joy that they bring to our life. Thank you for the ways that they push us towards you. We acknowledge that we need you. We acknowledge that we cannot raise them without you. We acknowledge that they are yours, and we are just stewards. We are just part of their process of growing up, and they belong to you. And ask that you would just, if there's something you really want to put on our hearts today, ask that you would speak to us today. Ask that you would grow us and strengthen us in having vision for our families. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I think everybody saw a picture of my family. If you see him running around, this is 3 years old, so he's not that short anymore. None of them are that short, but I'm slightly shorter, so I don't know. So the first question I want to ask you, let me just start with this. So imagine there's a person like me who doesn't have a relationship with Christ and has this life-changing awareness of God in their life. They come to Christ, they receive his salvation and love, and they're born again. And now this person embarks on this new journey with God. And I want you to just think about, how would you describe, what does that new life with God look like in one sentence? What would you say a life with God after encountering Jesus and having the Spirit of Christ in you? Bless you. What does that new life look like?
The opposite.
The opposite. Yeah. Tell me more. That's...
Yeah, everything I was doing, I should put it under evaluation.
So I used to get dressed. I don't get dressed anymore.
Yes.
Okay. So there's a big shift, but I just there's some opposites. I like it. What does this life look like? What is a life with God?
There's like a new person relationship you have.
Cool.
It's really important.
There's a personal relationship with God Almighty. What does that look like? Tell me a little more about that. In a nutshell, what does that
like,
what does that relationship with God look like?
Learning to listen and walk and be in fellowship. Just
cool.
Communicating.
Learning to listen to God and be in communication with God. Okay? Awesome.
I've had that relationship. He's a king. He's your Lord.
Okay.
Where
yourself
was your Lord.
Cool. So there's this huge shift of I was the king, I was the Lord. And now I have a new king, and I'm under his lordship. So it's learning to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I like it. Okay? Any others? How would you describe in a nutshell, what does a life with God look like?
You're submitting yourself.
Submitting yourself to God. Okay? It's a life of submission to God.
Your own boss. You're following orders.
A new boss.
I would say also being known. So allowing God, because he knows you, but allowing God to know even the places that you don't want to go in your heart, saying, I'm going to seek that spot and allow you, God, to know that, yeah, and get your viewpoint on these parts of my life.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a place of being known, a place of allowing yourself to be totally seen and known, even stuff you didn't even know. And just letting being fully known by God. Cool. Any other thoughts? How would you describe a life with God?
Well, I'd say something like everything's not too perfect, but you prepare to make things sense in like a eternal perspective. Like,
okay.
Maybe never had this before, but when you understand who God is and living under him, life and its good things and the challenges and being context makes more sense.
That's cool. So kind of like it's a new worldview, it's a new place where things make sense. It's a new place of understanding where there's a new understanding of life, okay? And that might sound like a weird place to start, but for me, that's where I start. What is the vision for my family? That we would walk with God. That we would live a life with God. And just a couple thoughts I have in a nutshell. I think a life with God means enjoying his love and obeying him. It means I submit myself to his care, and I submit myself to his guidance. That's kind of, I don't know. And I'm sure, but that picture in your mind, what does it really look like to live a life with God? To me, that's the ultimate. That's where I want my kids to go. That's the vision. And I think that vision we have in our head of what is a life with God is really the ultimate vision that hopefully we have for our families. Let's see. I had a couple other, just kind of how I would describe a life with God in a nutshell. I don't know if any of these resonate with you. It's knowing and following God. And I like the being known too. It's loving and obeying God. It's enjoying and surrendering to God. It's continually receiving his love and also continually receiving his will. So I receive his love and I receive his will as good for my life. And so that next question, just who would you like to prepare your kids to be? Hopefully it's what we already talked about. That's who I want my kids to be. And then we could add a lot more to that. I'm going to open it up. What do you guys think? Who would you like your kids to be? People who... Yeah.
I would like how to say maybe they don't act perfectly and are chiseled and have the right answers, but maybe they're a little messy and crazy, but they love Jesus with every fiber.
Cool. You want your kids to be people who love Jesus with every fiber of their being. And if they're messy and crazy in the meantime, so be it. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Like, I like that every fiber. It's just like their whole life. Like, they're just, it's not, yeah, not compartmentalized. It's not part. It's so beautiful. Yeah.
For them to be willing to show their relationship with God to others.
Okay. Man, you're already having a vision for your kids someday. That's cool.
My brain.
Yeah. All right. Jaden says he want that the kids would not only love Jesus, but they'd be willing to show others that they love Jesus.
Mommy, I don't
cool.
Like that,
yeah, because it's so important. What else? Who would you like your kids to be? Who do you want to compare your kids
to? I
want to
raise kids that I like being around, that I want to hang out with.
Cool.
All the time.
Kids that are actually fun to be around. Kids that you enjoy being around. Right on, yeah. I heard somebody say that. Don't raise kids that you don't like being around. Like, please don't. Like, that's awesome. All right.
I think
so,
one of the dynamics, yeah, too, Dove, is like, I'm trying to figure out who God's created our kids to be.
Yeah.
And not just kind of molding them into, like, what we think they should be, but also trying to figure out, like, how God's created each one of our kids. So not just creating them to be like me, but also being like, okay, this is why I see God already establishing them and trying to nurture that, too.
Totally. To raise kids that aren't just like me, but... So really raise them to be who God made them to be. To nurture that specific call God has on their life. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it.
All right. Next question, I think, just kind of big picture. What do you see as your God-given role as a parent? What is your job as a parent? What is your role?
To be a disciple maker.
To be a disciple maker, okay. So you want to expand on that, like that you're
teaching my kids to love Jesus, but teaching them to teach others to love Jesus.
Okay, teaching your kids to love Jesus and also teach others to love Jesus, to be disciples and disciple makers.
Yeah, this is a multiplication.
Okay. Any other thoughts? What do you think is your role as a parent?
Well, I've heard that dads really model father to their kids, like for better or worse, and that scares me a lot. But I think part of the role is modeling what God is like.
Absolutely. So, and I'm just going to repeat everything people says for the recording and so everybody can hear, but to part of our role is to model who God is, to model what God is like to our kids. Yeah, and I feel that sense too. And I hear dads especially. Like, our first image of God is our dad. And so, and with a lot of absent dads, no wonder people think God's pretty absent. I know I've struggled with that myself. But okay, that, yeah, absolutely. What else? What do you see as your God-given role as a parent?
Prepare them.
Prepare them.
Yeah.
Awesome. For what?
For the onslaught of the world.
Whoo, here it comes.
More than conquerors.
Good. Prepare them for the onslaught of the world to conquer, not just to be victims, but to conquer. I love it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's like pointing to the truth and like how to find the truth.
Cool. Point them to the truth and help them. Did you say help define or help find?
Help them be able to find it.
Help them find the truth. Yeah. Point them in the right direction so that they really know what the truth is. Yeah. That's good.
Mine's similar, just to point them to Jesus and that he's cool. The best. He's worth following and he saved us.
Awesome. Yeah. Point them to Jesus in a way that they're like, yeah, that I actually want, like, if what they see in our lives makes them want to follow Jesus, to point them to Jesus. Cool. I'm going to jump into some of these. What you guys said is totally just connects with where I wanted to go. Just some thoughts that I had. We are supposed to present a picture of God to our kids. By the way, I think I messed up with Bill. The handout should be on the app later if you want to download it later.
It's there.
It is there?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, it's there. So if you guys want to follow along on the handout, you're welcome to jump on the app and follow along. But we present a picture of God to our kids. In Psalm 62, 11 through 12, it says, "One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done." And so part of the image of God is that God is really, really strong, and God is really, really loving. And I think as people, sometimes it's hard to keep that tension of both of those together. And I think, and even, who knows, in a marriage, maybe one person might display the love of God more, and one person might display the strength of God more. But we need both of those. We need both the strength of God and the love of God. And when you think of the strength of God, what does that look like as a parent? What in your parenting displays the strength of God?
Provide for them.
You provide for them. You protect them. Awesome. Shows the strength of God. What else shows the strength of God to your kids?
Discipline.
Discipline. Absolutely, right? It's like there are consequences. There is, and it's kind of scary to me. I probably tend a little more towards the love of God, just how I am. And the wrath of God is wild. God's wrath is a strong love. And he hates the things that come against his children. Enough that he would punish and destroy. And any parent who does not protect their kids, who just allows all the crap to happen to them, and doesn't, like, stop it, lacks that strength. There's a, what else? Anything else comes to mind when you think of the strength of God? How do we display the strength of God?
Allow your kids to face hardship.
Cool. You got to allow them to face hardship. And you can support them in it, but you don't stop them from having it. It's like, you will have hardship, and I will let you have hardship. And what I say is hold their hand while they're going through it, but don't stop them from going through it. Absolutely. How about the love of God? What shows the love of God to our kids?
Our response to them when they make mistakes.
Absolutely. When they screw up, what's our response? Is it tender? Is it forgiving? Is it compassionate? Or is it just on them? Yeah, absolutely. I think that when we make mistakes, what is spoken in those times is one of the things that really sinks really deep inside of us in that time. And it's sad because we can say stuff really quick without even thinking and don't even realize those words went down deep. Yeah, so the tenderness in those times of failure. Any other things? What communicates the love of God to our kids?
Training them, talking to them.
Awesome.
Spending time. Teaching those things which can be so fearing. People need to like spend so much time to do that when you're trying to do something else.
Yeah.
So loving to take the time.
Totally. Life's so busy, but to take the time and to talk and to listen, to connect. And God is like that with us, right? God's always available. His love in those. The two goals that I have for my kids at the very fundamental level, with starting when they're young, is I want them to know that they're loved, and I want them to submit their will cheerfully to me. Because I think, A, that is what a life with God eventually will be, and B, I think that's what captures God. I want you to know that you're loved. Know that you're loved. Know that you're loved. I want to communicate that over and over in all kinds of ways. Know that you're loved. And I want you to submit your will. Because God is a God of strength. God has a will. And it's not just to be my puppet. God has a will bigger than me. He's the strong one. He's in control. He's sovereign. Okay, moving on. That's kind of a big point for me. But second, we're supposed to provide a secure and permanent relationship of love. We should be a steadfast, loving, open relationship for their entire lives. And that imperfect human love that we have is a representation for them of God's perfect love. Our love will never be perfect, but it's a small picture of that perfect love. I like how 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. I love that as a parenting verse. I've made so many mistakes as a dad. It's like, love covers over a multitude of sins. Like, keep loving. It will cover over that stuff. Do not let go of love. The next one, I don't know if you guys are on the handout. Be a godly example. You guys may have heard, and we talked about that. Have you heard that phrase, more is caught than taught? You can speak all day long, and your kids will be like you. Like, kids are little mimickers, right? The monkey see, monkey do. They will become like you. We are supposed to provide for their needs, to feed them, nurture them. Their physical needs, but we should also provide for their emotional needs, their relational needs, or we could call them aloneness needs, their need for connection. And then to train them. I like these verses. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And it's kind of interesting to think about training. Training is similar to teaching, except it's also different. Right? How would you think of the difference between training and teaching?
Training is more hands-on.
Training is more hands-on, right? Teaching is more just like conceptual. Any other thoughts? How's training different than teaching?
Training is more repetitive.
More repetitive? Okay. We're going to tie your shoes 80, 100, 200, all these times, right? It's repetitive? Okay. Yeah. And I kind of think of training is like, you go to training, you're preparing for a specific task. Teaching, you're just gaining all this stuff that maybe someday you'll use. But training, and so somebody already said this, we're preparing them for life. We're training them for life, with all of the craziness that's going to come in life. And so we want to prepare them. I just wrote down a few things. Prepare them for what? Prepare them, A, to be a fully mature man or woman of God. And I like this. My co-pastor, Steve Nelson, kind of summarized a fully mature man or woman of God has 5 aspects. Number one, they love God. Number 2, they love other people. Number 3, they have a well-formed identity. They know who they are. Number 4, they have a strong character. And number 5, they have skills, which are ways to serve other people. That's what skills really are. They're skilled in serving. I teach in a high school. And so I see a lot of, like, really lousy character. This might be the last one where let's throw out some things. What are some character qualities you would not like in your teenagers?
Lazy.
I've seen all of them. Trust me. Lazy. Absolutely. I've seen a couple of lazy teenagers. Whew. Okay?
Rebellious.
Absolutely.
Scared.
Okay. Just full of fear, right? Cowardly.
Disrespectful.
All right. Double. Disrespectful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wild or kind of just, I guess.
Okay. Wild. Rambunctious. Just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like.
Not under authority.
Not under authority. Totally disobedient. Yeah.
Easily. Yes. Argumentative.
Easily influenced. Argumentative. Totally.
Know-it-all.
Know-it-all. Proud and know-it-all. Rude. Yeah, rude. All right.
Ungrateful.
Ungrateful. What are some character qualities you would like to see in your teenager?
Hardworking.
Yeah.
Humble.
Kind. Yeah.
Quick to serve.
Quick to see a need. And they see others. They see needs. They don't just see themselves. They see a need and then they do something about it. Wow, that's pretty out there.
Yeah.
So I don't have kids, so I'll probably hate this one, but but adventurous, because like being able to take ground for the kingdom, so that
totally
initiative that young people have where they wanna go for it.
Adventurous, courageous, adventurous, yeah, totally. But in like a
godly way.
In a godly way, not in this like disobedient way, rebellious way, but totally, what great qualities. Yeah. Say again.
Assertive along those lines.
Good, assertive, yeah. Like not demanding, but they know how to like speak something. They can like speak their mind.
Loyal.
Loyal. Awesome. Yeah.
Not disrespectful, but kind to the teachers and like learning
or
coachable things.
Cool. Able to learn, teachable, coachable. So these, to me, these are just some really important areas to kind of like have in mind. What are we shooting for? Where are we going? What are some qualities we want? Like, what does that actually look like? Just a few more things. What are we preparing them for? We're preparing them to respond to the call of God in their lives. You were kind of saying that, Robin. We're preparing them to resist the tug of the flesh, the world, and the devil. So we can't just give into their flesh. We got to mess with their flesh when they're young, because I want them to not give into their flesh when they're older. We're preparing them to carry their own emotional, financial, moral load, to take responsibility for themselves. We're preparing them to carry an adult backpack, right? We're preparing them to leave the nest and, like, thrive. We're preparing them to face the challenges, the pain, the failures of life with strength, with resilience, with joy. I love how Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's like, I guarantee you, one guarantee Jesus says, you're going to have trouble. But in Christ, you've overcome. Will our kids face the pain and find that place to overcome? Even in joy, find joy in the middle of the trials. We're to prepare them to develop their unique gifts. Like Paul said to Timothy, fan into flame the gift that's been given you. Are we helping our kids fan into flame those gifts that they have, that the world needs, that the body needs? And prepare them to have a right understanding of God. I think we were talking about that. A right understanding of what reality is, of right and wrong, of what is truly wise and foolish. Okay, so that's kind of the big picture. It's cool for me because I am a teacher by profession. But we're all like teachers. But it's bigger than being a teacher. It's like being a guide, being a shepherd. We're trainers. And so, all right. So just a couple keys I want to throw out. Number one, your walk with God is maybe the most important part of it. If you are walking with God, enjoying God, growing closer to God, listening to God, following Him, becoming more and more dear, that's one of the greatest gifts you can give your family. It's better than having the right answers. Second, I just think your relationship as a couple, I know some people are in single-parent homes, but if you're in a two-parent home, your togetherness is one of the most amazing gifts you can give your family. I had a student one time, and students say all kinds of weird stuff. So this high school student says to me, I had this girlfriend. She was the first and only love of my life. I was like, okay. And the conversation. I was saying, I love my wife more than I love my kids. And he was like, if I ever have kids, I will love them way more than my wife. Because I've only ever loved one girl, and that's the only girl I will ever love, and she's gone. And I will love my new wife, but I will never love her as much, and I will love my kids more than I love my wife. And I was like, are you really saying that? And I don't know I have no idea if it bothers our kids, but we tell them all the time. We love you guys, but we love each other more. I just think that bond together is so essential. And from that place, there's like a stability in your home. There's like a together, there's like a foundation. And I love you guys too, but I love your mom more. So, and this is, and I'm going to be with her my whole life. The Lord willing. And then the last thing just I want to throw out is just, if we're on the same page together, as parents, if we're on the same page, like if we can agree on the activities we do, if we can agree on how to discipline, even if we don't have it all right, even if we're different than others around, if we're like saying, you know what, in faith, this is what we're going to do, and we're united in this, awesome. All of you in this room make choices different than me for your kids. And if you're doing those in faith, bless you. I love that. Do not do everything I do. It's awesome. We have the privilege of raising our kids as we see fit. But may we all do it like in faith. It says anything that doesn't come from faith is sin. Romans 14. Like, are we intentional and are we united? Or am I going, no, I think we should do this. And my wife's like, no, I think we should do this. Our kids are really good at that. Then they come and say, hey, I know I could get an answer from you. So, like, which parent do I ask to try to get it? It's like, no, we're together. We have a common vision. So what I would like to do is, I'm going to pass out a paper. It's also on there. I went crazy overboard. I don't know why. But I just have a checklist of a whole bunch of different areas, some that we talked about and some that we didn't. You could add to that list, but it's just some things to consider as parents. And I want you to read through it, and there's just kind of a check mark. It's an area of unity, intentionality, or faith, or it's a place that needs growth. Either we're not really united on it, or we're not really living intentionally or in faith. We're just kind of like managing the chaos and trying to stay alive, which is a good thing as parents. Like, try to stay alive. That's helpful. And what I would like you to do from this is just find one area that you would like to have a conversation with your spouse or a conversation with others to try to be really intentional in that area. Some of these you might be really weird, and I don't really care. You can just cross them off. Like, you're like, that means nothing. or you could ask me. But I just want to give some time right here to look at some of these, think through them. Some of them, let me pass them out. And then it's off on the app if you prefer the electronic. But
Dub, if people are single, like, is that kind of conversation they'd have, like, between them and the Lord or something there?
Yeah, I think a few things. For someone who's parenting as a single parent, and bless you, what an incredible labor. I would say, yeah, between you and God, or even if you have like a spiritual mentor or someone in your life that you would really respect, it could be a nice conversation with them, or just a good friend or something. I just want to open up some of those conversations. Where could I really be intentional in my life? But yeah, great question. So that's, you know what's interesting? I'm actually from Alamosa. I was born and raised in Alamosa. And I have a brother right here named Robin. And we had hippie parents. And so we all got nature names.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it went. So
that's what I was figuring when I saw that it was a Duke teaching class. Hippie parents.
Hippie parents, yep. You nailed it. So, yep. Then we got another brother named Cedar. And another brother named Orion, like the constellation. So yeah, we're pretty natured out. And then I couldn't resist continuing that trend. I married Holly.
Oh,
which is like, you know, it's traditional, but still a nature name. So it was like we just kept going. And so
forest pine children.
Look out, yeah.
Total Colorado news.
Thank you. needs growth.
What if we need growth in everything?
Yeah. Honestly, we could all check need growth on every single one, right? Honestly. But just kind of, if there's some specifically, you're like, you know what? This would just be really good to be more intentional in this area. Like,
I said,
I want to give you guys, we have another 15 minutes, but this might be a good date night to dig into one of these two and really just take some time. I know there's a lot here. Like I said, I kind of just kept going and going with all these areas, but I guess two things I want to just close with, and then I just want to really encourage you to, if you sense God tugging on you, like, hey, we're not really being intentional in this area. So really lean into that. Really
God,
lean into that.
Your
have
wife.
A conversation. What's that?
God, your wife.
Yeah. Yeah, either one. If your wife's tugging at you, on you, or God's tugging on you, listen. Yeah. Not that I haven't done that. But, and to press into that. Because some of these are pretty challenging. And the thing is, they get more challenging, I see, as our kids get older. And so some of these, like, if we can foster some of this culture at a young age, it really blesses our kids. It's a really awesome place. Just two things I want to say. I felt like I wanted to give one practical thing and then just one verse on identity, because this is a conference on identity. So the one practical thing that I just wanted to say, it's on the very last point. Greet your children every day with joy. Greet your children every single day with joy. And just that picture of, I am happy to see you. I am glad you are in my life. Every day, in the way we look at them, in the way we speak to them, every day. And that probably applies to others too. Greet other people with joy too. But greet your children every day with joy. And your spouse too.
And what does that look like for you?
That looks, to me, that's a big smile. Just in the morning. Hey, good morning. Hey, I didn't see him until after school. I'm happy to see you. So it's a look, it's words, but it's just, there's a communication of joy. I'm glad to be with you. And then the verse on the top of the page, the Father said to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And I think that is like the core of my understanding of my identity, is I'm a beloved son of God. I am a beloved child of God. And I want to pass that on to my kids, that identity. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With whom I am well pleased, with whom I delight. And so, I just want to close with that. We're going to pray. If you have time and space and you want to just process a little more, I encourage you to get some of those conversations with each other. I would be happy to process anything, too. I know some of these are like, I know, like screen time. That's a huge one. Okay. I'm going to decide what and how much they can watch. I'm going to monitor it, and I'm going to have conversations about it. Ooh, okay. Where do we even start? That's a big one. I hope you guys put a lot of thought and conversation into that. That's a big deal nowadays. Screen time's a huge deal. Some of these are just, it's a big deal. And if we're united, it can really be helpful. and be intentional. I would love to have more conversations. Why don't we close in prayer? And thank you, guys. Thanks for the conversation. And bless you in your parenting as you seek to really have a clear vision for your kids. So thank you, God, again for the gift of children. Thank you that you would entrust us with your beloved children. And we desire to train them well. We desire to point them to you. We desire to nurture them and foster their unique gifts. We desire that they would fall in love with you and follow the call on their lives. God, give us the grace to be aware in a busy world, to be aware of our kids, to meet them where they're at, to give them what they need. Use us, God. If there's things you want us to talk about, be aware of, open us up to those that we might listen and grow. In Jesus' name, amen.